हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Shri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 1, Description of Goloka, the Eternal Abode of Krishna. Page 27. Around Goloka, outside, there is a surrounding square called Svitadvipa. It is part of Gokula, since the word Gokula is a general term. The central area is called Vrindavan, and the outer area is called only Svitadvipa, or Goloka. It surrounds Gokula. Vrindavan is included in Gokula. The outer area which surrounds everything is known as Goloka or Svitadvipa. That square area is divided into four parts, Tatushkritam, to make four abodes for the four members of the Chaturvyuha, starting with Vasudeva. Because they perform pastimes as presiding deities, they are situated in airborne vehicles in the sky. It is surrounded by the four Purusharthas and the sadhanas to attain them, and by the devatas of the direction starting with Indra, in the form of their mantras and by the four Vedas, represented by four colors. Krishnam cha tatra chandobihi stu yamanam su vishmita. They saw Krishna there, surrounded by the personified Vedas, who were offering them prayers. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.17. So he sees the primordial demigods start here. Right. Then as it goes down, then whatever the Lord is, he always has his associates. The Shaktis like Vimala were also present. This is described in Brihadvamana Purana. The Vedas pray to the Lord, if you want to give us a boon, show us the form which the ancient sages say is the form of bliss. Hearing that, the Lord showed his abode beyond matter, indestructible, never declining, filled with pure bliss. In this place there is a forest called Vrindavana, furnished with desire trees, attractive groves and happiness of all seasons. In that place is beautiful Govardhana, with pure waterfalls. Govardhana is made of gems and minerals, and crowded with beautiful birds. In that place the excellent Jamuna River flows with pure water, with banks of gems, and is filled with swans and lotuses. In that place are groups of gopis, always intoxicated with the taste of the rasa dance. In their midst is Krishna with his youthful form. And so you can see here also just the opulence of Vrindavan. Right? But because we're always discussing about the sweetness, then it's about the pastimes, interaction with Krishna. And so that's the features it's going to be. Does that make sense? The opulence is there on the side. Because if you put any emphasis on that, then the problem comes is that then there's an attraction to the aspect of the opulence. And then it gets distracted and you don't get Braj. The statements of Harivamsa should be explained according to this. Indra says, above the heavenly planets is Brahmaloka or Vaikuntha, worshipped by the Vedas. Worshipped by the Vedas, the sages, Garuda, and others. It is the goal of Shiva, of the liberated souls, and of the devotees. Above this is the planet of cows, protected by the perfected devotees. O Krishna, it is all-pervading, great, attained after realization of the Lord. Above everything is your abode full of great powers, Goloka, which I cannot understand, though I have asked Brahma. One can reach Swarga by control of the senses and mind, and by execution of pious acts. One can reach Vaikuntha by engaging in meditation on Vishnu, but it is very difficult to attain the planet of the cows. The place protected personally by you, O hero, and which destroys the suffering of the cows and other inhabitants, is the residence of the determined and disciplined devotees. Harivamsa 2:19, 29-35. Burloka kaputah padbhyam bhuvar loko syanabhitaha svarloka kalpito murdna iti va loka kalpana. Earth and the lower planets are imagined to extend from the feet. Bhuvar is at the navel. Swarga is imagined to be the head. This is how others imagine the planets on the universal form. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:5-42. According to this verse from Second Canto, from Swarga to Satyaloka, there are five planetary systems. Above that is Vaikuntha, Brahmaloka, a spiritual planet, since it has the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Brahmaloka sometimes means the Lord's planet, as in Dadarishur Brahmalokam Te Yatra Kururo Jagatpura. They saw the Lord's planet, where Akrura had previously seen Vaikuntha, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-16. Murdabhi Satyalokas to Brahmaloka Sanatanaha. Above this is the Lord's planet, which is eternal, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:5-39. Riti. The location of Vaikuntha planet is explained in Laghu Bhagavatam Rita, chapter 2, as follows. Above Shiva's abode is Vishnu's abode, unattainable by all people. It is uncomparable and measures 50,000 yojanas. Beyond this, Vishnu Loka, east of Meru, in the center of the salt ocean, lies the great planet of Vishnu, situated in the water where Brahma sometimes goes. Brahmananda may be analyzed as Brahmana Anta, where Brahma goes. Brahmanda means maybe analyzed as Brahmana Anta, where Brahmana goes. Janardhan, accompanied by Lakshmi, sleeps on the bed of Sesh in the salt water at the end of the summer season. East of Meru, in the center of the milk ocean, there is another city of the Lord called Subhra. There the Lord, along with Lakshmi, lies on Sesha, sleeping for the 4 months of the monsoon season. South of that place, in the milk ocean, is a splendid island called Svetadvipa, measuring 25,000 yojanas. The men there shine like the sun and are as beautiful as the moon. Because of their effulgence, even the devatas find it hard to gaze upon them. O Yadava, Brahmananda Purana says, there is a place called Svetadvipa, surrounded by the milk ocean. It is 100,000 yojanas in breadth, very pleasant and completely golden. Surrounded by the milk ocean, piled with spotless stones, the island is washed by the restless waves which shine like the jasmine flower, the moon, or the lotus. Moreover, in the Vishnu Purana and Moksha Dharma, it is said, Svetadvipa lies on the northern shore of the milk ocean. Laghu Bhagavatam Rita, chapter 2, text 36-45. This place is served by the Vedas, Brahma, by sages like Narada and others, Gana.
There is one.
During different kalpas, Lord Brahma places Svetadvipa on different sides of the milk ocean. Thus, the various Puranas are not actually contradicting one another on this question. Okay, and that's from?
This from the Parapata, that verse, that particular verse, Laghu Bhagavatam.
Oh, okay. We should mention that, yeah. so that one knows. Plus, you have the one part, one point that comes up is going to be, you're not dealing with time and space when it comes to Vaikuntha. You know, so that's why then the upper manifestation or the lower manifestation, you know, means, where this means the situation, then it's not actually going to be any different. So even if one's on one side and one's on the other side of Meru, or it's on the northern shore or the southern shore, it doesn't actually matter. Because the point is, it's at the same place. It's just that, you know, this you do here, that you do there. You know, it's just like, for us, then we have a house, and the house, the same place does many things. Right? You know, it's just like you have limited space. But you see, it's when you get up into very kind of aristocratic, different rooms do different things. Even though they could all be done in one room, but they don't. Because there's a particular mood, there's a particular flavor, that's done in that room. You know, so in the, you know, summer it mentions, then you go sit in this room, in the winter you sit in that room. You know, you could sit in either room at any time, but it very nicely deals with that aspect. Does that make sense? You know, so I've seen people who live like that. You know, you've seen houses that are like that. And that's how it is, because this they do here, that they do there. So it's different things. It's not just the same. Like, let's say, you know, he may do his own work in one place, but if he's meeting people, he'll be in a different place. But for some people, where they work is where they meet people. You know, does that make sense? Or if you're taking dinner, you're taking snacks, it's all in the same place. But for this person, the snacks will be here, dinner will be here, lunch will be in another place. You know, if you're having special guests, that will be another place again. So that's the whole point. It doesn't matter that they say, because he does one thing and one thing, another and another, but it's all still one place. It's still the same person. Just they may be differently situated. And so for the spiritual world, there's no space there. You know, that there's not a problem. You know, but we'll get into, oh, you know, and all this and that and all. And so from that we get, oh, but you know, unless that's worked out, how can we have faith? Okay, how many millimeters long is your nose? How many wide? You know, how big are the air holes? How much volume of, you know, how many, you know, in connection with liters, how much is your sinus cavity and all that? So only knowing that, then you can breathe through your nose, right? No? If you don't know exactly how many hairs are growing in your nose, which ones are growing in which direction, which ones are longer, which ones are shorter, and then you can't use your nose. It's kind of like, these are just nice things that to point out that Vaikuntha is higher than the material situation. That's the purpose of discussing it. Then if these things make more sense, or things like that in the way of our, how we like to see things according to the locations, that's fine. Does that make sense? So that's why the Bhagavatam, you see, is that when it describes the universe, it describes it in 2D, top to bottom, or 2D, you know, from side to side. But it doesn't put them together. Because the problem is, how do you see it all together? Does that make sense? You're like, somebody can do one activity and they can do another activity, but there's people who can do both at once. So unless you're on that bed, what does it matter? Point is you know where this is, you know where that is. You to chant Hare Krishna, does it really matter where they are? It's just nice, it's Krishna's creation, so we learn about it. Does that make sense? So, if more detail and all that, that's nice. The thing is, no, it has to make exact logical sense to my inductive brain. You know, in other words, inductive means my perspective. But the problem is we have imperfect senses, and we have, you know, what is our purpose? Then that becomes difficult. Yeah. This place is served by the Vedas, Brahma, by sages like Narada and others, Gana, by Garuda, like Garuda. Having described the eternal residence, the qualification to go there is mentioned. It is the goal of Shiva, who resides with Uma, Soma. A person fixed in Dharma attains the post of Brahma after 100 births, and by more pious acts, when that person attains me, Shiva. But the devotee attains the abode of Vaikuntha beyond the material world after leaving the body. Similarly, I, in another form, reside there, and the devas who are qualified go there after destroying their subtle bodies. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.29. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. This verse gives an idea of the highest perfection of the evolutionary process. As described by the poet, Vaishnava poet Jayadev Goswami, Pralaya Prayori Jale Dritivan Asivedam. Let us begin tracing the evolutionary process from the point of devastation, Pralaya, when the whole universe is filled with water. At that time there are many fishes and other aquatics, and from those aquatics evolve creepers, trees, etc. From these, insects and reptiles evolve. And from them, birds, beasts, and then human beings, and finally civilized human beings. Now the civilized human being is at a junction where he can take further evolutionary process in spiritual life. Here it is stated, right, so in other words, up to human life you have this evolutionary process. But if you don't do anything about evolving beyond that to spiritual, you just keep moving around in that circle. You keep going up and down in that evolutionary process. Here it is stated, swadharma nishtaha, that when a living entity comes to a civilized form of life, there must be swadharma, social divisions according to one's work and qualifications. This is indicated in Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Chaturvarnyam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhaga saha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. And so that's always has to be considered as on discussions on human life and on varnashram. The essential point is it's created by Krishna. It's his system, right? Because when he's in Navadvipa, he's a Brahmin. When he's in Dwarka, he's a Kshatriya. When he's in Vrindavan, he's a Vaishya. Right? Does that make sense? So this is how he likes to do things. And that's how the interaction is then between him and the devotees. Otherwise, what do they do all day? Right? Because if you don't have this, what would be the interaction? What would be the reciprocation? Just you sit there and say Om, and that's it? Does that make sense? So there is that aspect that you can reciprocate, but it's not considered the highest. Right? So that dynamic aspect, that's what's more important. In civilized society, there must be divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and everyone must properly execute his occupational duty in accordance with his division. Right? Because it's divided doesn't mean that you identify with it. You know, because you can say, no, but everybody's the same, we don't divide. Okay, so then who's driving the car? Right? There's five of us in the car, who's driving? No, but everyone's equal, we should all be. You know, one can have one hand on one side, one on the other, one can be doing the stick shift, you know, the other one can be, you know, doing the radio, the other one can be pushing pedals. Like that, you know, because the guy can sit in front, he can get at the pedals, and then if you sit behind, those two guys could get there at the wheel there. And the guy sitting next to the driver, he could deal with, you know, some other stuff. Or he could do the blinkers, you know, and the windshield wipers. And, you know, so yeah, that's typical, right? That's how everyone drives, that's the most efficient and all that. No? Right? All the top drivers in the world, that's how they all do it, you know, all the top. You know, how you say, Le Mans is won because of this and everything, and you know, like that. You know, all the limousines are all designed just for this. Right? You know, what about at work? You know, then, you know, everybody's doing exactly the same thing. They're all at your computer. You push, you know, this button, they push that button, but then why not? Anybody can push any button because we're all equal, you know, and so then. You know, and according to that theory, there's if you take a million monkeys and 1 million typewriters, or nowadays would be computers, and put them all there, and they all are just playing and pushing buttons, one of them may type Shakespeare. Right? So this one in a million, it's worth it for an intellectual to think about it. Right? That's the level of their practicality. One in a million, it's worth it. You know, if I come up to you and say, hey, give me $100, I'll invest it for you, and one in a million chance you'll make the money back or more. You go for it? No. But somehow the intellectuals, it's great. So the whole point is that these things are there because there is division. So you don't have to identify with it. If you're doing deity worship, then you do it according to the Brahminical standards. You're doing business, you do it according to the Vaishya standards. You're doing administration, you're doing that according to the Kshatriya standards. You're doing an art, you do that according to the Shudra standards. That's all. It's just the way it works. You know? That makes sense? Like that. You're using a toaster, you use it according to the nature of the toaster. Using the washing machine, you use it according to that nature. You can't use the rules of the toaster on the washing machine or vice versa. Right? Of course, maybe you could say I can put the clothes into the dishwasher. But they're not coming out so good. And everyone must accept properly execute his occupational duty in accordance with this division. Here it is described, Swadharma Nishtita, that it does not matter whether one is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. If one sticks to his position and properly executes his particular duty, he is considered a civilized human being. Otherwise, he is no better than an animal. It is also mentioned herein that whoever executes his occupational duty, Swadharma, for 100 births, for instance, if a Brahman continues to act as a Brahman, he becomes eligible for promotion to Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma lives. There is also a planet called Shivaloka, or Sada Shivaloka, which is situated in a marginal position between the spiritual and material worlds. If, after being situated in Brahmaloka, one becomes more qualified, he is promoted to Sada Shivaloka. Similarly, when one becomes even more qualified, he can attain the Vaikuntha Lokas. The Vaikuntha Lokas are targets for everyone, even the demigods, and they can be attained by a devotee who has no desire for material benefit. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, one does not escape material miseries, even if he is elevated to Brahma Loka. A Brahma Bhuvanal Loka Punar Avartinor Juna. Similarly, one is not very safe, even if he is promoted to Shiva Loka, because the planet of Shiva Loka is marginal. However, if one attains Vaikuntha Loka, he attains the highest perfection of life and the end of the evolutionary process. Mam upetya tu kaunteya punar janma na vidyate. In other words, it is confirmed herein that a person in human society who has developed consciousness must take to Krishna consciousness in order to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka immediately after leaving the body. Chakva deham punar janma naiti. Naiti mam eti surjuna, Bhagavad Gita 4.9. A devotee who is fully in Krishna consciousness, who is not attached to any other loka or planet, including Brahma loka or Shiva loka, is immediately transferred to Krishna loka, mam eti. That is the highest perfection of life and the perfection of the evolutionary process. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.29. This place is the goal of Shiva. Liberated souls who have become one with Brahman, Jyoti Sham, and devotees who do not care for liberation, Mahatmanaha, like the Kumaras. Soma is not in the possessive case, like the other words for metrical reasons. Muktanam apisiddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prashantadma kotishvapi maha mune. O great sage, greater than those who are jivan mukta and greater than those who attain liberation is the devotee of Lord Narayana. Such a devotee who is in shanta or other rasas is very rare, even among 10 million people. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.14.5. Yoginam apisarvesham madgaten antaratmana shadavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. But I consider he who worships me with faith, with mind attached to me, to be greater than all types of yogis. Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Among all people, the devotees are the greatest, Mahatmanaha, at the highest point in Vaikuntha Loka. Vaikuntha, Brahma Loka, is Goloka, the planet of cows. Right, so here, Brahma Loka, then the Vedas, not Brahma Loka, they're talking about Vaikuntha. Right? But for those who are Karmis, they'll take it as Lord Brahma's planet, Satyaloka. You know, or others that are interested in liberation will take it as Brahman, or even as Shiva's planet, because it's in the it's in that aspect of it. It's in Brahman. Right? The eternal prototype of devatas, sadhyaha, who give mercy to the material devatas, protect this place. They reside as protectors of the directions in the form of a circle. Ye na na nakam mahi mana sachanta yatra purave sadhya shanti deva. These great souls, eternally accomplished beings, reside in the spiritual realm. Rig Veda 10.90.16. Right? So these are the eternal prototype. Right? So you have the eternal prototype. They'll be, and then you're going to have, they expand into, you know, the prototypes that's going to be when you have all the creation is made, all the species and everything. Then you have Indra, right, in the primary creation. Then in every universe you'll have an Indra. Right? So it's also a prototype. But the point is, these are the eternal prototype.
So the eternal prototypes, they all exist in Vaikuntha. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, here it's mentioning Goloka.
Oh.
They're the ones surrounding Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajum, Naniruddha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each one of them, then the Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha there, the processes for attaining them, the primordial demigods, they're all there. You know, so everything's there. So that means this, what you see is that all God's opulences and everything like that are manifest there. So everything that's there, the four Vedas, everything is all there. Does that make sense? So they'll all be there. But that's the point, is that's then the Lord as the Supreme Lord, and which He is. But the point is being the Supreme Lord doesn't mean that He as a person doesn't have His, you know, preference on how He just deals with everybody and everything like that. Right? So Vrindavan, He's dealing with everybody because of affection, not because He's God. But when you come to this first quadruple expansion, then it's because they're God. They, you know, that's that aspect, that feature. You know, how everything is there, everything's serving, how they're controlling. So like what Lord Brahma saw, all the living entities, all the Brahmas, all the elements, everything is serving. Right? And so then you have that aspect, you have to appreciate that. So, and the importance of that is simply that we know we're not the controller. Because otherwise, okay, I'm not controller of this, but I'm controller of that. Till finally, I'm the controller of, you know, my house, or, you know, I'm controller of my bedroom, or I'm controller of my chest of drawers and my socks, you know. But even that, no, your mother comes in and takes care of those. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so the thing is, you know, the guy's there, I'm the lord of this room, it's my room, I do what I want in this room and all that. As his wife comes and says, yes, of course, dear, can you move a little aside? I'm just cleaning here. Yeah. So that's that. We appreciate that. And there's those who appreciate that feature of the Lord, and so they want to worship the Lord in that aspect. They want to reciprocate with the Lord on that level. But then in Braj, the center, is that's Radha and Krishna. And the Vrindavan, pastimes. Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda says, Tattva Purve Yecha Sadhya Vishve Deva Sanatana Tena Te Ha Nakam Mahimana Sachanta Subha Darshana. Those are accomplished from the past, the eternal associates, with glorious appearance, reside in that abode. Or the meaning can be as follows. Brahma prays, Tat Bhuri Bhagyam Iha Janma Kim Ap Yat Tavyam Tad Gokule Pi. My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth, whatever, in this forest of Gokula. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.14.34. I think if you would be whatsoever, would be the, then it gives me, it doesn't matter. Thus, when the greatest devotees achieve perfection, they attain bodies of gopis and gopas. In these perfected forms, sadhya, they protect Gokula and serve it. The word he indicates that this is well known. Right, so they protect it, they go out, they take care, they take the cows out, they bring them back, they have the goshala. You know, they take care of everything that's there. So even though it's the topmost place, controlled by the Lord, the devotees are taking care. Well, in Vaikuntha, then you see is the Lord's taking care, and then everybody's there. Who even has offices, they're just worshiping the Lord. You know, well, in Vrindavan, everyone's just serving Krishna, but it's not because he's, you know, the one who takes, who's maintaining everything. They're working in such a way to maintain Krishna. Mother Yashoda feeds him, Nanda Baba then has his house and takes care. You know, there's difficulties happening in Gokul, so then all the elders get together and discuss what to do, so they decide to move to Vrindavan to make it safe for Krishna and all the devotees and the cows. So it's very different than when you come down to the quadrangle. But there, then the mood already has changed. So, you know, when we talk about Vasudeva Sankarshampa Trumnadi Rupa. This place is all pervading like Krishna, permeating everything in the material and spiritual worlds. It is great, Mahan, being afforded a form of the Lord. Mahantam Vibhum Atmanam. The Lord, the soul, is great. Katha Upanishad 2.22. Because the Lord is great, his abode is great. Because it's coming from him, it's great. So that means everything, everywhere is going on. Like even here, we acted, you know, doing human activities. But that comes from this place. Right? And then when you take the godly or the, like, demigods and like this, then that's going to be what the Chaturvyuha are doing. So that makes sense. You know, because they have the demigods, they have all that, so that, and you see that in Vaikuntha, you see that in Brahmaloka, you see that in Indraloka. So the same features, they permeate everything. There's nothing that's not coming from there. So the idea is, okay, we're here, we do our thing, that's there, that's, you know, other rules, but we know better what's going on here, because we're local, we're from the hood, you know, so... Mahakasha refers to the Brahmins, well. Since this is shown logically in the Vedanta Sutra, Akashas Talingad. The word Akasha denotes Brahman. Because of indications in the text, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.22. This place is attained after realizing the form of Brahman, Mahakasha Gataha. Just as Ajamil attained Vaikuntha, after first realizing Atma, or Brahman, or just as the coward Saivakunta after seeing Brahman, according to Sridhar Swami, or Mahakasha refers to Mahavaikuntha. Thus the place of Krishna is situated above Mahavaikuntha, Mahakasha Gataha. It's probably Mahakasha refers to to Brahman as well, rather than the Brahman as well. It means less to mean the specific well the Brahmins have, or the Brahmins as well. Or, okay. Your abode is in Goloka, the highest place of all. You who play in Vaikuntha and other places and other forms play here in the form of Govinda. This place is not ordinary, but has unlimited powers, tapo mayi. In the Sahasranama Pasha, it is also said, paramam yo mahat tapaha. The Lord is supreme, great, and full of power, tapa. Brahma and others cannot understand it. Yamnavidma, those whose minds are absorbed in meditation on Vishnu, Brahmye tapasi, attain Vaikuntha, which is beyond prakriti, para. Bhagavatam explains that Krishna frees the cows and all beings from the heat of the day. Mochayan vraja gavam. Vraja gavam dina tapam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-25. Thus, nignato padravan gavam. This place destroys all harm to the cows. Means that the place is by its very nature destroys all problems for all the inhabitants of Vraja. Because it is controlled by the actions of persons dedicated to serving there with a suitable mood. This planet of cows is difficult to attain because of this rarity of this type of mood. Yeah, so it means the nature of those persons dedicated to serve in that mood, and that means they qualified to function in this place of Vraja. That's a specific mood, as we see, as Lord Chaitanya brings out, you know, that aspect of a Chintabheda Veda Tattva, so they can deal with these aspects and that serving mood where that rati is just exclusively on Krishna, and it's not about anything else. Right? Then they qualify for rasa. Mm-hmm. Having described Goloka, it is said to be non-different from Gokula. This place, Gokula, is protected by you. Tavya Dritaha. For example, you lifted up Govardhana to protect it. Ekada Shantarik Shachcha Vaikuntam Sve Chaya Bhuvi. Gokula Tvena Samstapya Gopi Maya Mahotsava Bhakti Rupa Satam Bhaktim Utpadit Va Utpadita Vati Brisham. The Brahmanas in meditation seek the Lord made of 10 directions, who lives in the ocean. The wise see the Lord in the ocean. The wise seek the abode of light rays. Taittiriya Aranyaka. Just before that it said up here, it says, what was that? Where's the thing about the Brahmas? We're just looking at it. Page 31. Mm-hmm. Then the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph says Mahakasha refers to the Brahman as well. But I think it's supposed to be to Brahman as well, isn't it?
Okay.
Because it said that, yeah, the word Akasha denotes Brahman because of the indication of the text. Mm-hmm. Or Mahakasha refers to Mahavaikuntha. I think Brahmins as well, right? Brahman as well.
Brahman as well.
Oh, I see. It was just that the as went over to Brahmanas. And then you can hook. Yes. But then if you're going to connect it there, that last A before the S should be long, right? Because you're combining two A's.
Yes, yes. Dhammana, it should be long. There are a lot of places where it's like my two words are mixed up.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just cannot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for most things it doesn't matter, but this one.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Brahman, you know, or are we talking about a well that belongs to the Brahmins, or that the Brahmins are well, so they're in good health or good consciousness?
Sometimes I get really confused when I was like two words, and then it makes completely different meaning like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards I look around, okay, there is a space required.
Yeah. Okay. Once by her desire from the sky, Bhakti Devi established Vaikuntha.
Yeah. After Taittiriya Aranyaka, Mathura is beyond matter.
We just read the bottom of the page, that shloka.
Okay.
He lifted up Govardhan to protect it. And then 32, right? No, because we had started off here, 33. We had moved two pages instead of one. Once by her desire from the sky, Bhakti Devi established Vaikuntha, the form of Bhakti, as Gokula on earth, and filled with the gopis' joy, she gave Bhakti to the devotees. Brahmaloka is considered superior to Swarga. However, the meaning here is that this Brahmaloka must be above the three worlds. It cannot be the planet of Lord Brahma. It is not attained by going to the moon, Somagatihi, since all these planets, including the moon, are below Dhruvaloka. This place is not protected by the sadhyas. Persons who protect Swarga, born from devatas, cannot at all protect that place. What to speak then of Goloka? Brahma's planet also is not all-pervading. Indra expresses astonishment with the word api in describing the topmost planet when he says tatra pitava gatihi. Thus Indra says that he does not understand this place and Brahma does not understand it. This quotation proves that there is a spiritual Goloka different from the Goloka in the material realm. As in the Brahma Samhita, this place is described by indirect language in Hari Vamsa. Narada Pancharatra describes it as follows. Tat sarvo pari gokule shri govindas sadha svayam viharet paramanandi gopi gokula nayakaha. In Goloka, the topmost planet, Govinda, full of the highest bliss, the hero of Gokula and the gopis, always plays personally. In Moksha Dharma and Skanda Purana it is said, Evam Bahu Vidhai Rupais Charamiha Vasundaram Brahmalokam Cha Kaunteya Golokam Cha Sanatanam. I move about in various forms on earth, in Vaikuntha and in eternal Goloka. Mahabharata 12:3:30-68. Thus it is proved that Krishna's planet is above all other planets. That place has three locales named Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, according to different pastimes with different amsas. On earth, the places with these well-known names are said to be his very forms, since they are said to be the Lord's eternal abodes, having eternal qualities beyond matter, like another Vaikuntha. In the Skanda Purana and Prahlad Samhita, one can read about Dwarka's position. Shruti also describes the spiritual abode of Dwarka. An antas samudre manasa charantam brahman vavidhan dashahotaram arne samudren ta kavayo vichakshate marichinam param an vichanti vedasaha. The Brahmins in meditation seek the Lord made of 10 sacrifices who lives in the ocean. The wise see the Lord in the ocean. The wise seek the abode of light rays. Taittiriya Aranyaka. Mathura is beyond matter. So we see here in the Vedas, when you see the acharyas explaining what is the verse, what its meaning, and then you see how the verse is worded, you know, that particular kind of Vedic Sanskrit poetry, then you see is that this is the origin of where you're talking to a particular group, you speak in their language. But the problem is if they don't, without association in that, they won't know its connection. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the person who's speaking, they are trying to see that that happens. That's why then this must be studied with the guru. You can't just study it on your own. You know, it's just like, let's say, you're giving a kind of a discussion at some kind of, let's say, New Agey kind of environment or event or something. You're going to use the words that they're familiar with. But how you're using them, because, you know, words have different meanings. You know, like we say, Brahma Loka can mean Lord Brahma's place, it can mean Brahman, it can mean Vaikuntha. Right? Or, as I pointed out here, it can mean Goloka. So then different people will take it at different levels. So you're speaking, trying to catch those who have the interest in the highest level. But if not, at least everybody else will, you know, be happy and try to elevate themselves to some degree. Right, so the karmi will be inspired to get to Brahmaloka. The impersonalist or the jnani will be inspired to attain Brahman, but the devotee will want to attain Vaikuntha. So, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can say, oh, but it's here, so this is all right. It says, yeah, depends on what you want. If you're the flowery language is what attracts your attention, then that's one thing. But if the purport of that flowery language, that's something else.
I guess that's why Narada chastised Vyasadeva. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because before Bhagavatam, it wasn't, means the level of perception mm-hmm. is according to the individual. The message is the message.
Right.
But how you interpret it, according to Nyaya or according to, you know, Vaisheshi, like that, and then, like you explained, you go different destination, you achieve, you know, your own goals through the Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
But then Bhagavatam, it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Although the preparation period is still, you know, ninth cantos mm-hmm. before the dance happens.
Yeah.
But it is very clear that it's all about, right from the first verse, first and the second, like that. So that we cannot, like, really misinterpret
yes.
in any other way, that it's all about Krishna, actually.
Yes, because this verse that we heard before about how he plays in all these places, including Goloka, that was a Mahabharata verse.
Yeah.
But how many people catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, he's all-pervading, and this and that. You can interpret it in any possible way. He's playing there, and he's playing here, and means he is all pervading, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we also see is that when Krishna talks about, he says that of words, I think it is, then he's the word with double meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so when you say Brahma Loka, that word represents Krishna because it means so many things. Because Krishna is being everything, then there's so many levels. You can look at the rug, you know, the rug here by the aspect of just material energy, the 24 elements. You can look at it by the modes. You can look at it by Brahman understanding, the Paramatma understanding, or the Bhagavan understanding. Is that, does that make sense? You know, so you have that aspect where Krishna being everything, but the point is depending on your realization, or as at that previous point, the level of evolution, then you'll take a different level. So Vyasadeva's idea is everybody should be elevated to back to Godhead, right? But at the same time, as you're going to function from the place you're in, because that anyway, psychology is that you can only deal from the position you're in. You can't deal from another position. That's why it says better to do your duty than someone else's, because you can do someone else's mechanically, but you won't advance using theirs, because you don't have the mentality. You don't actually relate to it. For you, for someone, it's an occupational duty. It's your duty. It's what you're supposed to do, your obligation. But for the person doing it, but it's not theirs, then why are they doing it? It's for a personal motive. You know, to establish themselves, get some benefit, have some authority, something, you know, something is there. So that's not what it's for, because that's going to be mode of passion and ignorance. While doing a work from duty, that's mode of goodness. So from goodness, you're trying to get the pure goodness. So why would it matter? You know, you say, oh, everybody is equal, everyone can do anything. But then that makes it down to my desire. So it's about how I identify as a bodily and you know, subtle and gross platform, which makes it anamoy, and it's for my benefit, so it remains anamoy. Some may say, oh, but everybody should get benefit, but it's all, everyone's only getting anamoy benefit. Does that make sense? So that's what you see, is you have anamoy, which is about yourself. You have manamoy, which is about doing the duties as given by the Lord. You know, means Dharma means the inherent nature of things. So you accept God's authority, that this is the nature of it, and use it in that way, right? Pranamoy is in the middle. Its actual goal is anamoy, but it tries to present itself as if it's, you know, its morality is actually, you know, how you say, given by God.
Yeah.
You know, it means, you know, God meaning themselves or the group of them or whatever. So it has that look like it's something higher, but it's actually, its purpose is something lower. That's why you see the more and more that social thing becomes emphasized, especially as you make it secular and separate it from working with religion, the more it just becomes anamoy. And then you just leave it on its own to run by its own devices. It moves from, because human life begins at following Dharma. So it moves down to the animal, at least the sophisticated, and it moves right on down where it's not civilized. So it just turns into animal life.
So we have three main positions and two intermediate positions?
Yes, yes. That's why you see you have what do you call it? Partiva rasa, swargiya rasa, and vaikuntha rasa.
Yeah.
So that means anamoy, manamoy, and anandamaya. Those give clear tastes.
Right.
The pranamoy and the vijnanamoy, those are positions in between.
Right? Yes, you have to go somewhere.
You have to go somewhere, but you see, it's what happening is you can either take it as pranamoy and then you move up to manamoy and like that, or pranamoy and you use it for sense gratification. Because the problem is you have dharma, which is manamoy, then artha, kama. You know, but because you establish dharma, then when you see kama doesn't work, then you reject it and go for the moksha. So it moves you up to the next one. But from there, again, you'll just come down, because you see, is when the spiritualist who doesn't do so well, who doesn't get a taste, how much of a taste is there? Because we see is the rasa has the three positions, and that's not one of them. It's in between. So then the problem is then they'll come down and they'll start doing philanthropic work and things like that. So it looks like it's good and it's manamoy, but it's actually pranamoy, because what are you doing? You're taking care of people's senses. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said the impersonalism actually gives rise to sense gratification. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you can see those who don't have any regulation, don't have anything, but they have that kind of be nice, be good and all that, they can relate to the Buddhism. But it's all about sense gratification for themselves. They say it is a key to everyone's together and we all have nice sense gratification, rather than it's a key to liberation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they say so many people in the West are taking up Buddhism is for sense gratification, not for liberation.
Yeah.
And it maintains their independence, so they don't have to worry about anybody else. Is that right? Mathura is beyond matter. So one aspect is, okay, you want to speak to somebody, you don't want to do the quote-unquote hard preaching by using our direct terms and all that. You know? You use terms that they can relate to. There are terms, but they're the terms that they can relate to. But you have to present it in such a way they come to the understanding of the Absolute. Not that just, I was invited by this big, you know, this fancy group, and I went and spoke there, and they appreciated, and so that's the goal. No, if they're not becoming Krishna conscious, or at least exposed to Krishna consciousness, or chanting a prasad or something, what was the point? You know, otherwise, why join Krishna consciousness to become a big person in the yoga circle, or, you know, any other kind of circle like that? You know, why don't you go out and make it on your own if you're so great? You know, if you're such a great yogi, go for it. You know what I'm saying? Mathura is beyond matter. Anyaiva kachit sa srishtir vidatur vyati rekini. The other creation of the Lord is the opposite of matter, Varaha Purana. It is eternal. Rishir Mathura namatra tapa kurvati shashvate. The sage performs austerity at eternal Mathura, Padma Purana. The form is astonishing. Bhur bhuva swa tale napi na patala tale malam. Nordva loke maya drishtam tadrik shetram. Vasundare. I have not seen such a pure place anywhere in the upper planets, on the earth, or in heaven, or in hell. Adi Varaha Purana. It is eternally the place of the Lord. Aho ti danya Mathura yatra sannihito harihi. Mathura, where the Lord constantly resides, is most fortunate. One should not say it is only a place of worship? Okay, so he's just trying to establish it's not just a place of worship, but it's actually
the place.
It is the place, not a place. Maturaya param shetram trilokye nahi vidyate tasyam vasam yaham devi maturayam tu sarvada. There is no place in the three worlds superior to Mathura. O Devi, I live in Mathura at all times. The speaker in this verse, Varaha, says he lives there since he identifies himself as an Amsha in comparison to Krishna, the Amshi. This place is, of course, famous as Krishna's place. It is also said, Aho Madhu Puri Dhanya Yatra Tishtati Kamshaha. Mathura, where the killer of Kamsha resides, is most fortunate. Patalakanda, Padma Purana. Vayu Purana says Krishna lives in Mathura in person. Chatvarim shad yojananam tatastu maturas mrita yatra devo haris shakshad swayam tishtati kam shaha. Mathura is 24 yojanas from Pushkara Tirtha. There the Lord, killer of Kamsa, lives personally in his spiritual form. Yeah, so here you see all throughout, so this from Patalakanda Padma Purana, then it's also then, you know, points are made, we see all over the Linga Purana and all these different Puranas, something very, very nice is said. So Vyasadeva has put these all throughout. But as Narad Muni points out, is that won't work. Right? You know, it won't work because people become pious, they become, but they're only attracted to the rituals that elevate them up to the next level of where they are, or improve the level they're on. They're not necessarily get attracted by Goloka. Like you hear Prabhupada giving lectures, and this is 70s, and in like in Ahmedabad or Ahmedabad, where he's, you know, it's pious people. At that point, the whole state would be vegetarian. You know, they all worship, you know, Krishna, they all worship Nathji, you know, in the homes, everything. But when he speaks, you know, the first day, he speaks very nice, you know, giving the you know, structure of the Krishna consciousness moving through. But the questions they're asking are gentlemen presented, are quite impersonal and quite, you know, challenging. Right? You know, so, and these are people who are, you know, according to the Vedas, worshipping the Lord. But their intent of what they're going to get from it is karma or jnana. There may be the aspect of some bhakti, and definitely they'll advance, but it's not enough bhakti to create that shraddha that we talk about from shraddha to prema. That surrender and dedication. So anybody who does that's very special. But you can see, well, they're so pious, they're so nice and all that, and it's a nice society and everything. Well, then amongst the devotees it may not be as nice, but then that's why Krishna says that what's it? Sudaracharo. Yeah, so they may, but the point is they have faith and they're connected to Krishna. So even if the other things haven't caught up to that, so in other words, the cultural aspects haven't caught up with their realization of surrender to Krishna, they're still considered saintly. Right? But you still have to be careful, you don't disturb the devotees and all these kind of things. Because otherwise you say, oh, they're so nice, why can't we be like them? But the thing is one, they're pious, and they're following the Veda. So Krishna Prabhupada has given us the Veda, follow it. You know, then you become nice. Right? They're becoming nice for piety, we'll become nice because of bhakti. Yeah. Yeah, so you have to see is that at some point the direct point has to be brought out, or at least you have to be throwing in lots of names and lots of prasad and lots of those things. But if you're not doing those, then what's the point? Because otherwise Nard wasn't impressed with Vyasas. But now once you have understood and presented as in Srimad Bhagavatam, then all the Vedic literatures you see is all supporting. But until that time, then people are, you know, Veda, Vada, Ratta. They're all thinking, going off in a thousand different directions, thinking that it's all there. But what it's dealing is that anyone at any level in progression can take shelter of the Veda, find something that relates to their position and advance. But all that's very slow. But by surrendering to Krishna, then the whole the purpose of it is to take you, you know, over who knows how many hundreds of thousands or millions of births to bring you up. But then here is the one minute in one birth. You can go from wherever you are up to the topmost position.
Right. So, yeah, even recently we heard from devotees that people nowadays are very sinful, so they are obviously going to hell. So by preaching, moral principles, we're trying to at least help them that they won't go to hell. And because according to them, they are unable to, or don't have enough piety, let's say.
The karmis.
Huh?
The karmis.
The karmis. They don't have enough piety to accept Krishna consciousness. So that was their, that was the idea. And I wasn't impressed personally. I didn't interrupt them. They can do whatever they want to do, but I think, we already have a movement like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing is, as a neophyte, then they're going to think, well, they're great people. But then by that association, then is it that they don't have the piety or the preacher doesn't have the piety? Because you're unable to adjust the mentality, whose fault is that? You can't just say, oh, they're so sinful. Right? Prabhupada went out, because Lord Chaitanya's movement starts with the most fallen. So whoever they're dealing with today is less fallen than what Prabhupada was dealing with. And the devotees in the 60s, 70s, like that, they're a better position. They're sinful, but you see that there are certain aspects that they're more nice than that. So then that aspect is then you can look at it because you can say it's all them, and so therefore I have to adjust. Okay, then nice. But then the point is then for those who are not interested, what does it say? So the neophyte might be impressed by them, they're worth spending the time with. But for the Madhyama, they're not impressed. They see the Lord, they see the devotees, they see the innocent, and they see those who are the atheists. So if you're saying they're atheistic, then as a preacher, why you're dealing with them anyway? Because you will not have an effect. Unless you're giving a prasad, then that's nice. Then just say you're distributing prasad to people who normally wouldn't take prasad. Leave it at that. Why you come up with this foolish philosophy? Oh, they're so sinful, they're this, they're that. I mean, that's what Kali Yuga is for. It's as if they're more sinful now than before. It's like, yeah, so then they wouldn't be the ones you deal with. You'd look for those who are interested in God consciousness. They're the innocent. So you have 7 billion people on the planet, look for those ones. How many people can you preach to? You can't preach to that many, so find the ones that by preaching to them you can get some effect. But are we preaching to these groups because we're impressed by their social status or other things like that, and so that's why we want to be associated with them? Then that's neophyte. That's not Madhyama. And so therefore, that's why, because of lack of faith that Krishna consciousness is the only process, therefore then one doesn't have the potency to convert them, change the consciousness. Because all you're trying to do is elevate the consciousness. The lifestyle may stay what it is, and then slowly, that's there. But you have to change the consciousness. But they're taking it, they are the activity. No, they are the consciousness. The activity follows. Change the consciousness. Activity will change with time. But here you don't change the consciousness and you leave the activity the same. What have you done for them? Other than you got the sukriti of taking prasad. If you're giving prasad. So this thing is, but then the point is are they such that what morality are they doing? Are they stopping them from eating meat, the illicit sex, intoxication, gambling? Those are the ones that Manu and everybody talks about. So what is it that they're doing, keeping them from being sinful? What are they doing? Having them not point at people with their index finger when they criticize, because there's a hell for that, mentioned in the fifth canto. They're stopping them from that, or stopping them from, being rough with beating the animals when they're working. I mean, what are they doing, If they're just talking, be nice, be good, we already had a preacher who did all that. So you're already with people who can relate to that. Take them farther. Otherwise, Yeah, look what he took and then, you know, made them into be nice, be good. So now you're supposed to take them farther, just like, you know, Buddha, you know, did one thing to make them peaceful, then Shankara brought them into the Vedic fold, then the Acharyas bring them up like this, and then Lord Chaitanya. So it's a progression. So here in the West, and yeah, then they have the preacher come and try to make be good, be nice, but be God conscious, then why can't you speak on God? You know, the glories of God, the position of God, and things like that. Because Prabhupada does that, very logical, very nicely presented, using standard, basically, you know, English words. You know, carefully chosen, but they give a proper connotation. Because otherwise, yeah, you can do that, but then what are you doing? So you're only doing pious activity. So how do you expect to go back to Godhead on that? You know, if you're saying, you know, my own personal life and sadhana, I do that, then why are you spending your time like that? How much are you affecting? Oh, I'm doing whatever I can. Okay, nice. But then when you have that faith and commitment, otherwise why would you give them that? Because piety is also just another poison. It's just they're going to stay here for that. You suffer in a fancy house, you suffer in a slum, but you're suffering the same. You know what I'm saying? The guy is in his, you know, 6-bedroom, you know, 4-car garage with a nice backyard and swimming pool and everything like that. And his wife chastises him. Now you go down to the slum where he's living there, and you know, in one room like that with a tin shed, and his wife chastises him. Does the guy in the big fancy house feel better? He feels just as bad as the other guy. It's the same thing. You know, so what is being accomplished? You know? And now suddenly they're so moralistic and so nice. I mean, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the weakness that will come. That's why it says when a spiritualist doesn't get a taste in Krishna consciousness, or in spiritual life, they come down to philanthropic work, which is exactly what they're talking about here. It may be a subtle philanthropy, but it's still philanthropic work. So what does that mean? Why don't, you could say, I'm doing my sadhana, but why don't you have a taste that you want to give that to them? If you have a taste for Krishna consciousness, why aren't you trying to give that to them? And if you say it's difficult, then approach people who are. There's suddenly this, oh, we're just establishing mode of goodness. Are you? Mode of goodness means you're doing your duty because it's what you're obliged to do, and you do it without attachment. That's mode of goodness. So following the Vedic rules because you're supposed to, that's mode of goodness. So is that what they're doing? I doubt it. And so it's just a matter of being nice. Why? Because then you don't bother other people. Why not? Because then they'll feel bad. Why, you know, why is that? You know, because that's on the Anamoy platform. They don't. So, yes, that is the rule. That's the Vedic rule. You're not supposed to disturb, you know, even an ant. You know, so, but at the same time, as you have to understand, is that the ant is because you don't disturb the ant, don't step on him, does that elevate him to a mode of goodness? You're still an ant. Ants in the mode of ignorance. Right? And so those in the mode of ignorance, are they going out to just general public, going down to, you know, some neighborhood and in the community hall there, giving these classes and trying to elevate them in the mode of goodness? Or are they going to special clubs with, people who are you could say socially or economically more well situated, which are more impassioned. So we're thinking of people in mode of passion, they're good. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we're impressed by them. You know, where are the people in goodness? The word sakshat means in a subtle form, not a material form. The word Swayam rejects the meaning that he resides in as a deity there. Tata means from Pushkara Tirtha, which was previously mentioned in the text. These verses establish that Varaha's statement does not refer to himself, but to Krishna living in Mathura. So it's not just there in the form of a deity or place or worship, but he's actually there performing his pastime. Narayana spoke to Brahma, just as there are seven delightful cities on top of Meru, there are seven cities which bestow spiritual opulence and liberation on earth. Among them is the city of Gopala, which is directly Brahma. This place satisfies all desires of devatas and other beings. Just as a lotus rests on water untouched by it, this abode rests within the material world but is untouched by it. Protected by the chakra, Mathura, the city of Krishna, is the highest abode. Gopal Tapani, Upanishad 2:25-26. Dvivane sta Krishna vanam badra vanam tayor anta dvarasa vanani punyani punyatamani teshveva devas tishtanti siddha siddhim praptaha. There are two forests, Bhadravana and Krishnavana. The 12 forests are contained within these two, some pure and others even pure. Devatas and siddhas, having attained perfection, dwell there. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So is that referring to, you think that's, is that referring to, it says two forests, the other 12 are contained within these two, because they say one side of the Jamuna is Krishna's side, one side is Balaram's side. Samprapya maturam ramyam sara brahma mari sevitam shanka chakra gara shanga rakshitam mushaladivihi. Having attained beautiful Mathura, served constantly by Brahma and others, protected by the conch, chakra, club, bow, pestle, and other weapons, people attain all success. Yatra sau samstita krishnas tribhishakya samahita rama nirutha pradyumnai rukminya sahito vibhu. There the powerful Lord Krishna resides, situated with excellent pastimes, accompanied by Balarama, Anirutha, and Prajuna, and by his Shakti, Rukmini. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2:35-36. This is an answer to the question posed by Gandharvi about the nature of Mathura. The same status is given to Rama in Ayodhya. Speaking of Swargadvara, in the Ayodhya Mahatma, it is said, Chaturdha Chatanum Kritva Deva Devo Hari Swayam Atraiva Ramate Nityam Bratribhi Saha Raghavaha. Rama, expanding into four forms, enjoys eternally with his brothers in Ayodhya. Yatra Yatra Hare Stanam Vaikundam Vaikuntam Tad Vidur Abhudha. The wise understand that wherever the Lord resides is Vaikuntha. According to this, the place of the greatest form of Bhagavan is called Maha Vaikuntha, since Mathura is greater than Vaikuntha. Okay. Because the Sri's talk about Maha Vaikuntha, they just don't know the full details of it. Hmm? Mathura, okay. Mathura is the most attractive of the seven cities. Oh, Devi, please hear by Vaikuntha, which is superior to Earth. Oh, Mathura is superior to Vaikuntha, Padma Purana. Those who live in Mathura have forms similar to Vishnu. The ignorant do not see this. People by eyes of knowledge see. Adi Varaha Purana. That Vrindavan is non-material is proved by showing the nature of the area of Mathura. In Gautamiya Tantra, Krishna, while explaining Vrindavana, answers Narada's question. The question is this. I desire to hear about the 12 forts of Vrindavan. Please tell me about this if I am qualified. Right, so that's also the point. Please, I would like to know about this. Please tell me if I am qualified. Right, because that humility, submissive hearing or submissive questioning, because then if that's there, then you can apply it. Because if you already have the ego that's there, that ego's not right, you can't apply it. Right? You can only apply something when the knowledge is correct and the attitude is correct. Right? It may not be fully developed, but at least it can start working. Right? So manana means that you have that knowledge and you have the attitude so you can apply it. So he's saying here, if I am qualified. So these kind of questions where I demand to know, I have to know. If I don't know, or you don't tell me, then this, or you don't resolve my doubts, then because it's my right. It's kind of like you're not going to get anywhere, because even if someone does explain it, you won't understand it, and you won't be able to use it. So what's the point?
Yeah. I just recently heard one class on astrology, and. How to consult people and this and that. So even, material science, it is mentioned, what's his name? Varaha Mahira, famous guy. He says if somebody comes to you in that mood, challenging you, trying to actually check whether you know astrology or not, he doesn't trust you, right away. Don't even bother dealing with this kind of people. Mm-hmm. Just say, excuse me, I can't help you, and just, goodbye.
Yes.
Not even, and astrology, it's subtle, but it's material. Mm-hmm. But here we're talking about, top spiritual knowledge. So if people come in that mood, it's like, forget it,
Mm-hmm. Yes. This pleasant Vrindavan is my only abode. There, all cows, animals, birds, insects, and humans are without death. Those who live under my mercy come to my abode on dying. The daughters of the cowherd men live in my abode. Completely giving up all connections, they serve me continually. This place, measuring 5 yojanas, is non-different from my body. The Jamuna, flowing with the sweetest nectar, is the Shushumna, central nerve of that body. All the devatas and elements exist there in a spiritual form. I, the embodiment of all devas, do not leave that forest for a moment, though I appear and disappear in this world age after age. From this radiant forest full of pleasure is invidna. But this radiant forest full of pleasure is invisible to the material eye. Gautamiya Tantra. From this it is understood that since they belong to the eternal abode of the Lord and have such extraordinary forms, these trees are seen by the great devotees even today. The learned see this place with great astonishment. There is a great Kadamba tree east of Kaliya Lake with 100 beautiful branches and most fragrant. Attractive and cooling, it flowers all 12 months. It shines in all 10 directions. Varaha Purana, Kaliya, Radha, Mahatmya. All 12 months. Here, maximum, you get five bloomings in a year. But sometimes you get less. Because it has to be that it's ready and you get a rain just at the right time. Then you'll see that they'll all be like that, must be like that for weeks, and if there's just that right thing, the next day they're all bloomed.
Yeah. But in Vrindavan it's different. Their Kadama is small, very fragrant, small, but it's rarely blooming. I mean,
but there's also rarely any water.
Yeah, it's rarely. I don't remember.
You'd have to see as if there's a really good rainy season or that kind of thing, if it's any different, if it's blooming anymore.
Yeah.
But here, it's all 12 years, so this is the, you know, if we see with transcendental vision, we can see that Kadama tree, you know, so. Shata Shakam means endowed with 100 branches. Prabha Santana means shining. O Earth, I will relate something astonishing about that place. Please listen. Humans who dedicate their actions to me attain perfection there. To the north side is an Ashoka tree, shining with white effulgence. It flowers on the Dwadasi of the waxing moon in Vaishak month. It gives joy to my devotees. O thin-waisted woman, without the pure devotee, one cannot know this. Varaha Purana. Varaha Purana. Dwadasi means on the Dwadasi. According to the rule, Supam Shulug, Panini 7139. Suchim means having full dedication. From this it is understood that the various trees of this of this meaning of Vrindavan or of this statement, or from this it is understood the various trees cannot be known even by earth personified.
Of this field
of the, oh yeah, yeah, place something. The bridge built for Krishna's pastimes destroys the greatest of sins. Having constructed a watchtower there for playing, the Lord, holder of the club, goes there in a moment's time. There in a moment's time every day, enjoying with his coward friends eternally. Adi Baraha Purana. So now here's a bridge that destroys the greatest of sins. So wouldn't it be better to take everyone to Vrindavan and take them across that bridge? You know, because then they like to go on a tour and while they're there, go around Govardhan. They can go take prasad, eat lots of soap properly.
Yeah, it's like that story of Vishakha Mataji and Siyadubar. They came and they already met Srila Prabhupada, but she wasn't impressed. I mean, she was really, you know, feminist. I mean, she was really tough and super intelligent. And by that time already, she was very young, but already awarded some price, you know, for pictures and, you know, like super qualified. And then they met Srila Prabhupada and they said, well, we have to do some project. Where should we go? And he said, just go to Vrindavan. Mm. And then she mentioned in her book that she was completely fascinated by Vrindavan, although it was by that time, you know, early 70s, it was just, you know, just a village, just a dusky village. And then she describes all, and then Prabhupada, without thinking, he just sent them to Vrindavan. He said, you'll find everything there. Mm. And she said that, you know, actually the breaking point was then, and then Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, and then the whole thing, then like, you know, they became devotees in Vrindavan. Mm. Just by observing the place.
Okay. Tato Vrindavanam Punyam Vrinda Devi Samashritam Harina Dishtitam Tachcha Brahma Rudrari Sevitam. The pure Vrindavan is protected by Vrinda, controlled by Krishna, and served by Brahma, Shiva, and others, Skanda Purana. That's for.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.